This is Dr. Arnold Anderson, professor of psychiatry at the University of Iowa College of Medicine, talking about men's conflicts with food, weight, and shape. I've had the pleasure and privilege of working with hundreds of men over the last 30 years. There are many questions that a man has about food, weight, and shape. What should a man weigh? What should a man eat? How active should a man be? What kind of shape does a man want? Unfortunately, there are many conflicts in this area as well. Some of the conflicts are the following. You know, I feel fine. I don't need to do anything. That's a subject for women. You know, if I were to try to resolve some of these conflicts, it would take too much time. I've got a lot of work to do. Who cares what I weigh? Look at those defensive football players. They look terrific, and they sure hit hard. Some men say, it's no use, I've tried. Others think I'll be teased. Some get defensive and say, you can't scare me. There are a lot of men who are perfectionistic and think that, gee, no matter how much I do, it's never enough. I'd like to share with you some thoughts about healing these conflicts, where they come from, and what you can do about them. In fact, I'd like to make you a star. Those initials, STAR, will later become important in terms of setting specific goals. Unfortunately, many men know much more about their lawnmowers, their computers, their cars, their workplace agenda, than they do about themselves, their bodies, how their minds and bodies connect. There are many reasons for bothering about healing these conflicts. Men, more than women, value functionality ahead of appearance as a goal. When these conflicts are healed, men are much more effective. They feel better, they function better, they live longer, they have a better sex life. It's interesting that the illusion is perpetuated that men are the stronger sex. Sure, in terms of lifting iron, hoisting weights, men are stronger and can run faster. They can throw a football or a baseball further. But medically, it's really a different story. All over the world, there's a gap in length of life between men and women that tends to increase, even in countries with very good quality of health. Typically, there's a 5 to 8 year gap between length of life of men and women. You can do something about this. In your 20s and 30s, you may say, there's plenty of time, why bother? But I can tell you, when you have children and grandchildren, you're going to want those extra months and years. More importantly, you're going to want the quality of everyday life that healing these conflicts can bring to you. So where do these conflicts come from? Well, there are many sources. Our society often discourages men from taking care of themselves. Almost three times as many women as men seek a doctor when they have medical symptoms. Hey, guys are the first to check out an expert when they're having a problem with their computer. It'd be great if they were quick to check out when they have a problem that's small before it becomes a big one in regard to their health. There's a lot of social pressure to suck it up, tough it out, ignore the pain, get back in the game. But figuring out how to heal these conflicts has a major payoff. For example, in terms of fitness, for every minute you put in, you gain back 2 to 3 minutes. So it's not simply an even deal. You actually put money in the bank. Sometimes guys have grown up in families where it's considered not the thing to do to take your weight or shape seriously. Some have been kidded. Your personality makes a big difference. If by temperament you're perfectionistic, almost nothing you do is good enough. If you've had past experiences in which you haven't succeeded or have been teased, criticized, blamed, that's going to put you off trying to do it again. Many of our media present such impossible examples. I call them genetic mutations, those picture-perfect men on the front of magazines. Well, some of them are naturally fit. Some of them are airbrushed. But it's silly to compare oneself to them. In fact, comparisons are deadly. They're invitations to disappointment. What you want to do is figure out what your goals are, what you can do with what you have to achieve what you want. It's important to clear away a number of these conflict areas. For example, if you're saying, "Why bother? I feel fine," you want to know that feelings aren't facts. We don't have on our computer screen pictures of what's happening to our coronary arteries, but we can find out and do something about it. The idea that it takes too much time, well, the issue is priorities, not time. Plus, many men overestimate how much time it takes to keep fit, to eat well. In our society has become divided, starting around junior high school, into super athletes and bench warmers. Time, energy, money, resources tend to be put into the elite athletes and the rest give up their pickup games and all of those patterns of activity that could last a lifetime, like they do in most European countries, and instead watch games rather than play them. So let's look at how we can go about systematically understanding and healing these conflicts. First, it's important to get an objective assessment. You wouldn't want someone to be working on your car who hasn't scoped it out for the reason for the strange noises it's making. There's no single health factor that's vital by itself, but there's a cluster of factors that give you some indication of the objective nature of your body. There's a lot made about body mass index. This is a number that is said to be healthy between 19 and 26. It seems like a magic number. You can put in your height and weight on a computer program and get it, or you can do it yourself. It's very easy. You multiply your weight times 703 and divide by the number of inches of height squared. You'll get your BMI. While 19 to 26 sounds fine, it's flawed in many ways. If you are healthy with good cardiovascular fitness, for example, athletic, and you have a BMI of 27, 28, 29, you're much better off than a thin guy who doesn't work out, who has belly fat, who smokes, and whose BMI might be 21. So while we want to think about BMI, we don't want to take it as revealed truth. Perhaps in terms of physical health, one of the most important measurements in a man is the ratio between his waist and his hip. If you take a simple measure and, without pulling in your stomach or extending it, measure around your belly button, and then measure around the widest portion of your butt, and divide the waist by the hip, ideally it'll be 0.9 or less. Women, whose curves we like, have a waist-hip ratio of 0.7 or less. There are several other measures that are worth obtaining. A simple one is, what is your resting heart rate when you wake up in the morning? Ideally, it would be in the 60s. It certainly can be safe and low in the 50s or lower if you're athletic. When it gets into the 80s or so, it usually is a sign of poor conditioning. There are a few laboratory studies that are important, especially in view of your personal and family history. Men who come from a family where there's early cardiovascular disease, such as a heart attack or diabetes, need to start getting a baseline measurement early, say in their 20s or 30s, and if things are fine, wait another 5 years. But if you're inherited vulnerabilities toward illness, it's time to start doing something. One of the most important measurements is your lipid profile. There really are three, perhaps four, numbers that you want to understand, because these terms get thrown around. The first is total cholesterol. Total cholesterol is important. It is a risk factor, especially above 200, but by itself is not the only thing. The good guys in this picture are the high-density lipoproteins, HDLs. Think of them as the happy lipids, the healthy lipids. Men definitely want to be above 40 on this number, and much better is 60. For each point you go up in your healthy HDLs, your heart rate, your heart attack rate decreases by several percent. Unfortunately, there are not many medications beside niacin that do much for increasing HDLs. One cardiologist joked that the secret of a healthy heart is to run quickly from bar to bar. Well, we don't want to endorse excess alcohol, but it is true that aerobic exercise and moderate, that's 1 to 2 glasses of alcoholic beverage per day, have a beneficial role on the good lipid, the HDLs. And by 1 to 2 drinks, I mean 1 beer, 1 5-ounce glass of wine, or 1.5 ounces of liquor. The LDL is the low-density lipoprotein, and these are the bad guys. Here, medicines are really helpful in lowering them. If you have no risk factors, then LDLs below 100 is a goal. If you have risk factors, such as early coronary disease in the family, especially in a mother, then less than 70. While medicines alone are never the answer, the statins have been demonstrated many times to provide a role. Probably 19 out of 20 people will be able to take them according to the doctor's advice on levels without any significant side effects. So the first step in doing something about conflicts is get knowledge, get assessment. The BMI, the waist-to-hip ratio, resting heart rate, and some basic family information, and a few blood tests. The next step is to start shaping your goals. Here's where you can become a star. I'd like you to remember these 4 letters, because so often goals are vague, they're impossible, they can't be defined. I want to be the best. I want to be all I can be. It's like a New Year's resolution. It tends to disappear like a snowflake in July. Think of the STAR system. That is, you want to have goals that are specific, time-limited, achievable, and rateable. This will get you out of the pattern of vague, impossible, or non-specific goals. For example, you'd like to lower your resting heart rate from 80 to 70 or 65. So you set a specific goal of doing 10 minutes of walking a day if you have been a couch potato, and increase that every week until you're doing 30 to 40 minutes a day, 6 days a week. That's very specific. And it's time limited. You set a time to do it. maximum of half an hour. It's totally achievable. We can build in walking through pieces at a time, for example, parking a distance away, or doing it in one stretch. It's rateable because we have a measure now. How quickly do you do the walk without discomfort? And what's happening to your resting heart rate? The same STAR method is useful when you're starting to work out. For example, you want to bench press 25 pounds on each side of the bar. You'd like to achieve this within a month, and it is totally achievable, and you can rate it because you're the one who puts the 25-pound weights on either end of the bar, and you can have a buddy rate you as far as form. By the way, this is a time to seriously consider getting an evaluation from a fitness expert. Almost every gym and workout facility will have trained fitness experts. Investing in two or three sessions will pay off big time. Remember, form, form, form. Getting the right form will allow you to begin and gradually increase in the weights without any physical damage or overdoing. It's an excellent investment, costs less than a new set of snow tires. About nutrition, many guys feel, why bother? I don't want to be ordering a salad for lunch. Well, you don't have to. But you do have to know a few facts. The facts are that we're increasing dramatically in our belly fat. Men tend to become apples, women tend to become pears. When men put on extra weight that's not in the form of muscle, it collects in the abdomen. This is the fat that's quickly mobilized into the bloodstream and settles in the coronary arteries. This is the kind of weight you want to redistribute. The major reason to work out, to develop a pattern of aerobic activity, anything you like that gets your body moving, to develop strength and develop flexibility, is because you'll feel better and function better. It's not primarily a way to reduce. Calories in versus calories out is the essence of weight management. But the quality of the calories you take in makes a big difference. You can see the two of these areas as closely related by remembering that muscle will burn energy for hours after you've worked out, whereas fat won't. So let's talk about nutrition. It's not a woman's issue. It's not a girl's issue. It's not a trivial issue. All around the world, people who live the longest and function the best have some very great similarities in their nutritional pattern. You hear about this diet and that diet. Well, let me tell you that the word diet is a four-letter word. It's as objectionable as the F word and the S word. So the first principle is no dieting. Whatever you do, you want to do for a lifetime. For example, if you're 5'11 and 220 pounds and you're heading for 180, you want to eat for what it would take to maintain 180 and simply keep on as you drift down to that. Decreasing 1 to 2 pounds a month is plenty. The slower it comes off, the more likely it'll stay off. So we want to develop patterns of lifetime nutrition, not dieting. Almost all dieting results in rebound, results in binge eating, results in discouragement. So let's forget the word diet. A principle that's followed in a number of countries that have long life and high quality of life involves the principle of leaving the table when you're no longer hungry, not when you're full. There's about a 20% difference in calorie intake between being no longer hungry and feeling full, that tummy sticking out. Sure, once in a while on holidays, but other times, leave the table when you're no longer hungry. Guys need protein. Two or three servings of high-quality protein during the day are enough unless you're really strenuously working out. So if you start with protein about equal to a pack of playing cards in size, you got your measure down. Now this could be lean beef, chicken, fish, low-fat cottage cheese. But we know guys are going to like meat. Fine, look for the less marbled meats, the lean meats. You want to develop a taste for finding and enjoying fruits and veggies. Keep a clementine, tangerine in your pocket. Keep an apple on your desk. Studies in Norway showed that by just having a bowl of fruit around, you increase the consumption of fruits. Veggies don't have to be bland, soggy, and boring. Guys learn to slice them and grill them, put a little marinade on top, spice them the way you like. If you choose your grains, make the ones that give you long-range energy. For example, whole grains, oatmeal. Feel free to have plenty of lipids. Much better word than fats. It's only the trans fats, the ones that keep Twinkies on the shelf for 3 months, that have real problems, along with the saturated fat of high-fat dairy and meats, but plenty of olive oil, canola, avocado, fish oil. Even two servings a week of salmon or other deep-sea fish decreases irregular heartbeat risk of 40%. So if you emphasize the do's, not the don'ts, leaving the table when you're no longer hungry, eating slowly and socially. It's been shown that having a meal with company, eating and being social while you're having lunch and supper, you actually digest your food better. You wouldn't put plain sugar into your gas tank. Don't put it into your mouth, whether it's in the form of sodas or keeping the sugar into the coffee. The same goes with anything that's highly refined, like most white breads. The energy just poops out on you after a couple of hours. You get into the hunger cycle, and then you have another donut. So developing a pattern, the key is the food's got to taste good. It's never going to make you real hungry. In fact, there's a good book by Barbara Rolls called Volumetrics. You can get it at Amazon.com. She's a professor and has an endowed chair at Penn State. If you want to lose, you have to short yourself 3,500 calories to decrease a pound, everything else being equal. This means cutting down 500 calories a day in order to lose a pound a week. Even 250 a day, you'll lose 2 pounds a month. Remember, after a year, 2 pounds a month is 24 pounds that will stay permanently off. So get the facts about healthy nutrition. Make it a guy's kind of nutritional pattern, Italian, Thai, Asian food, Latino. Spice it the way you want, but build your own healthy plate. About body shape, here what we have to do is get rid of all of the internalized ideals and work instead with ourselves. If you've been teased or criticized by other kids growing up, by your parents, your sibs, a lover, it's going to make you real sensitive to shape. What's important is to say, what is my shape? Are you a lean bean? Are you a mesomorph? Do you tend to be large and somewhat rounded? Men have more complex body image ideals than women. Women, it's thin, thin, thin. Men, some of them want to be thin and wiry, like Mick Jagger. Some want to be mesomorphic, like Brad Pitt and David Beckham. And some want to be really big, muscular, like the former Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, we can't press a button. What we need to do is ask what's our natural tendency and work within that. The holy grail today is lean muscularity. Well, some people can achieve it, but we all can make changes in a positive direction starting now in our shape. As many men, that is 70 to 80%, are dissatisfied with shape as women are, but they're dissatisfied in different ways. They're dissatisfied from waist up. Women are dissatisfied from waist down. Many men would accept a weight that's above average if they could have it exactly in the form they want, which is well-defined muscles. In fact, men are at risk for a different form of eating disorder, namely reverse anorexia, where no matter how big and buff you get, it's not enough. And that leads to things like overexercise, injuries from excess workouts, abuse of anabolic steroids, and mostly emotional dissatisfaction. Just as the biggest sex organ in your body is what's between your ears, not your legs, so the biggest organ having to do with conflict is your mind. Ask yourself some questions. Do you have conflicts about nutrition, weight, shape? What are they? What are some good, realistic, achievable, time-limited, and rateable goals you can achieve and start now? There's really nothing more important in life than taking care of yourself. We're not just talking long life, we're talking quality life. We're talking the ability to carry a couple of concrete blocks. We're talking about the ability to keep playing basketball if you want in your 40s and 50s. Remember, we work out to play. We don't play to work out. What doesn't work very well is to be a weekend warrior doing nothing except sitting at a desk all week and then expecting weekend games to make us fit. No, it's the opposite. You get fit on a regular basis by your workouts. And a good ideal is get a little pedometer and measure 10,000 steps a day. So we work out in order to play. So when we do play, we play well. We have fun. We're not laid up with injuries on Monday and Tuesday. Some conflicts would benefit from expert assessment and treatment by a person specially qualified with men's issues about these areas. There are three sources of information I'd like to recommend that are sound, they're not trendy, they're not crazy, they're not impossible. The first is the Harvard Men's Health Watch. It's around $30 a year. I get five or six health letters from Harvard, from the Cleveland Clinic, from UCLA and Tufts. But this one puts a lot of these together. It's sensible, it's evidence-based, it's by experts, it's up to date. You can check it out at www.health.harvard.edu or men's and then underline health at hms.harvard.edu. It's worth the investment. The only book that I recommend on weight control is Volumetrics by Barbara Rolls, and I have no economic stake in this. It's the only one that's based on the science of nutrition and how to have enjoyable meals but lose weight. It's based on the idea of having meals that are larger in volume, lower in density, because having meals that are really dense in fats and sweets, they slip by the counters in our pylorus and don't give time for feedback to the brain. Having a salad, a cup of soup, 20 minutes before your main meal, lunch or supper, will cut down your intake about 20% without even trying. A third source is a book called Making Weight, published by GURZ, U-R-Z-E Press, of which I'm one of three authors. These three resources, I think, will get you going. Sensational Promises About Dieting from the latest books. They're great for authors who take the money to the bank, but they leave you bankrupt. If instead you are on a long-term, satisfying, enjoyable pattern of nutrition, weight, mental satisfaction, coming to realistic terms about what life's about, how important shape is. I think it's somewhat important. But I think what's most important is having priorities, goals, finding things that satisfy, getting off the rat race, and putting first things first. The tragedy of 9/11 made a lot of us reevaluate our goals. Remember, we're more an underfit than an overfat nation, and that fitness as a lifelong pattern will produce relaxation, good stress management. So I'd encourage individuals with conflicts to figure out what the conflicts are about, to see which one of those comes from personalities that are perfectionistic, from past harmful comments from others, from internalized ideas that masculinity means ignoring your health, eating 46-ounce marbled steaks, and challenge those ideas, and instead start specifically, slowly, regularly. Find workout places with a buddy close to home that are inexpensive, making it a daily activity rather than something that's a chore. You know, general rule is it takes about 6 weeks and six tries to change a pattern of behavior. For really ingrained conflicts, especially where there's depression, anxiety that's not productive, deep source of shame. Then an evaluation and psychotherapy, perhaps medications, is appropriate. But many of men's conflicts about these areas can be resolved with information, with assessment, with setting reasonable goals, with going through that period of continuing until they really become a lifestyle. What first feels hard, after a while feels essential until you get a kind of high from carrying out these activities. Moderate activity, for example, 1,800 calories, that's about 5 hours of moderate activity a week has been shown to lower heart disease 40%, and that can be built in little bits. If you're in an area, especially a university hospital, that has a course called mindfulness, this is a wonderful way to come to terms with the kind of busy overthinking that we do that often leads us to anticipate negatively and limit our perspective. It's usually once a week, an hour and a half, for about 10 weeks, and it's a wonderful way to come to terms with ourselves in a non-judgmental, gentle way by being aware of our thoughts and how they affect our bodies. It's a way to live in the here and now and make the most of what we have, what we are, and to become what we want to be. So, best wishes in challenging your conflicts about weight, shape, nutrition, exercise, fitness, and living happy, healthy, and productive lives with good health principles. Thank you.